couple of years down the road, you are hanging out.
Yeah.
You're living in Los Angeles, California, baby.
All right. How's it going?
And things are going pretty well, actually.
Can you define that, please?
You're selling a lot of like screenplays.
Okay. All right. Now hang on a second. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
What kind of screenplays are we talking here?
Erotic thrillers.
Oh yeah. 100% on board. That's right in my fucking wheelhouse.
Sure. One of your screenplays, one of the erotic ones that you wrote, it's called Half Dead and Dripping Wet.
Oh, gross, Pat.
And
the initial inference is that this is like an aroused, you know, half human or, you know, like a zombie, or are they half dead and they're dead? They're wet from the deadness. Is this an erotic?
So basically it's erotic thriller about what it's like to come back from war. So a lot of these people in the movie, they're half dead because like they have, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, stuff like that. But it takes place, it's a period piece. It takes place right after World War I.
Okay.
So people really didn't understand trauma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't understand stuff like that. So
when did
they, what?
Nothing.
So basically, they're kind of like, yeah, we don't really know how to help these people. So instead of like doing therapy, it's basically an erotic thriller about World War I GIs coming home and laying pipe.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's about...
Some of them had different... Yeah.
It's about a population boom. A post-war population boom.
Well, not really. It's just mostly just about, you know, fucking. So what happens is... You sell the screenplay and it's actually it's kind of an interesting concept.
this one that you're talking about right now?
Half dead and soaking wet.
Oh.
Because what happens is the director, after you sell it, the director actually gets permission for one scene to have like just full penetration.
Full penny.
Yeah, it's definitely shown, but not like for more than just a couple seconds. You know what I mean?
Does anybody else call it full penny?
No one calls it that. No.
All right, they do now.
But you actually like include that in the screenplay. You write the words full penny.
Yeah, 100%.
And you like, you know, you're like you have in one scene, you're like you're writing like, Scott McDaniels walks into the sex dungeon.
This is a dungeon scenario. This is a sex dungeon scenario post World War One.
Well, it's just one scene in it, and so what happened in a larger erotic story. So what happens is,
this is a foray into a sex dungeon. Jaunt into a sex dungeon.
Yeah, it's just one scene, and so it says in the
why is it in there?
It's
does it have to be in there? Is it pivotal that that he goes to visit a sex dungeon and it's his first time there?
Well, it's an erotic thriller, you know what I mean? So, man. I think it's the story that you set out to write.
Okay.
This guy going out to
Scott McDaniels.
Yeah, Scott McDaniels goes to like Prague. And he just fucks. And so basically, scene, he goes into this sex dungeon in Prague. And so he goes down there and it says like in the screenplay, it's like Scotty McDaniels walks down those steps that have seen so much.
What does that mean? Are people?
You can practically hear his shoes sticking to the floor.
People are just banging on the stairwell. That's what you're telling me.
What's a sex dungeon?
So they're just fucking in the stairwell of this sex dungeon to the point that your shoes are sticky.
Yeah.
Are they not cleaning it? Or is there just that much for the day that accumulates?
I mean, I don't know. You wrote the screenplay. So it's like he walks downstairs, and what he finds is dot 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 people fucking, and I'm talking full penny, dude. That's how it's written.
All right. Yeah, I would 100% refer to it as full penny. If I ever do that, it's
yeah,
yeah.
And so, so that's one of the films that you wrote, the erotic thriller, Half Dead and Soaking Wet.
Ugh.
You have another one that actually like just got made. Like the first one has become a modern day erotic thriller classic.
Half Dead and Soaking Wet.
Yeah,
it's a classic in the genre.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean for me? What happens when you write a classic in that genre?
Then you are in demand, baby, because there are some true perverts out there.
Like the guy who wrote entertained the guy. This is a very specific reference. The guy who wrote the Emmanuel series from the 90s. Like, how do you think that guy's doing? Aware. You know what I mean? Have you ever been into a family video? That store is 75% Emmanuel movies. Sure.
Yeah. And people are saying, like, people are this reviewer, he's just known as the Jackal. He writes for the Los Angeles Times.
All right.
His review is like, he's like, I haven't been this rock hard and out of breath since the first Emmanuel movie.
Oh, fuck. I'm in rare air, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Man.
So things are going pretty well. So what happens when you become the most successful screenwriter of erotic thrillers in America? You fucking get work, dude.
Now what?
Like you.
Am I doing like anything else like that I like want to do? Am I like working on anything that like sounds fun to me other than writing? I mean, high quality, but like erotic thrillers.
No, just this podcast.
That's all I'm okay. So I'm doing Lanalax and I'm also writing legitimate erotic thrillers.
Yeah.
What about
the downloads have fallen off a cliff, dude?
Well, I mean, if the people can't stick with me through having a writing career, I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know,
I'm just telling you what happens.
Well,
So you're still doing stand up, you know? In fact, you kind of, lately, you've sort of taken on almost like a
like a
mentor type of position in the scene, you know,
in the Los Angeles comedy scene. I'm a mentor, Pat.
The LACS.
I've never. I mean, no, like that just doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, Pat. In the Los Angeles comedy scene, me.
Why?
A dude who's never had any TV credits. A guy who probably won't ever get on late night TV. Like, why?
I'm saying this is a couple years down the road. You have done a lot of stuff since then.
What do you mean? Like, I've gotten on TV?
Yeah.
What the fuck, Pat? Why aren't you telling me about that? Instead, you're telling me about this goddamn erotic fiction. I mean, which is cool, and it probably pays a lot of the bills. But if I'm also, like, a nationally recognized comedian?
As you're writing it, you kind of...
You're
like...
burying the fucking lead, Pat. God, it's so.
You made your debut on this. There's like this new late night talk show produced by Lanalax TV. When you get booked, like when you go on the show, they actually give you like the host walks in. His name is. Peppers Vandelake. So he comes in, full Peppers, and he's like, hey, you know, thanks for coming out. Really looking forward to this, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, anyway, here's my card. He gives you his card and he walks away. And all it is a jet black card. And it just says, on the bottom in very, very small print. Like you have to like squint and put it right up to your fucking glasses. It says Lanalax.com. And then you kind of look at it and you realize that it kind of looks like the letters turn blue, you know?
Yeah.
Almost like it's like a hyperlink or something.
Just by looking at it.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Pat? Also, where is Peppers in like the hierarchy of late night hosts?
he is kind of new on the scene, okay. But he's been kicking ass, dude.
But where is he?
He is, what do you mean?
Like, you know, where's he rank? Is he,
so at the top, it's like, you know, Fallon and Colbert, you know what I mean? Underneath that, it's Conan, and underneath that, it's Peppers.
Oh, okay. That's all right. That's cool.
It's legitimate. Very happy.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah. You're very happy to be there.
All right.
The only thing that kind of sucks about it is that you were like, you asked, they gave you like a plus one to hang out with you backstage.
Yeah,
like friends, and
yeah,
none of them go with
fuck
you.
Fuck you.
They're all comedians, and they're all so jealous of you.
That's not how, every time one of our friends gets something, they're like, there's people with them because we care about each other.
I mean, you thought so, but
what the fuck, man?
So you just kind of go, and then like Peppers, as he leaves, he just goes to himself almost. He kind of goes like, no guests. All right. Door closes.
What the fuck? That sucks. I can't even get a single friend to come with me to my late night television debut.
It seems kind of suspicious, right?
Yeah, Pat. Nobody.
And like, I call you to congratulate you, and I'm like, you know, I got nothing going on. And you're like, all right, you hang up.
Why would I do that? Why would I? You're like my best friend. Why would I do that to you?
That's something that you got to ask yourself, really.
What the fuck, Matt?
A few days later, you're kind of like, that was kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
I forgive you. I always do. So you do the show, and it goes like I said, like really well. And so after that appearance, you start getting the other shows. You know what I mean? You eventually do all the other ones. Conan.
Holy shit.
You know, Colbert.
The Comedy Cup.
Yeah, dude.
Colbert.
You place gold, and you get a gold medal from that fucking comedy circuit.
Just get a gold medal. What's it say on it?
It turns out that if you're on every late night talk show doing stand up, it's kind of like winning like an EGOT or whatever.
Oh, okay,
but yeah. Instead, it's called the Talk Show Triumvirate. They named it that when there was only three late night talk shows. And okay. They're like, well, tradition. We're not going to change it up. So you actually get one of those, and you're feeling pretty good about that.
Okay.
And on it basically it's a golden medal.
Yeah.
And it says on the front, it just says Aaron Brooks. Underneath it says late night lover.
Oh, Pat. Come on, man.
You don't think that's a little cool? It's kind of cool.
No, Pat. I don't think having that thing that says late night lover on it is cool.
Why?
Because it's not cool, Pat. It's not cool. It doesn't mean anything. It could say congratulations or great job, but instead it says late night lover.
Yeah, and then on the back it says these credits don't mean as much as they used to.
Yeah, we all know that, but we keep propping it up like it's, you know, something that it isn't.
So anyway, so
says all the guy who would really take one in a heartbeat.
You don't have enough turned down. So you know, your sets go really well. So things are going pretty good. So you're making some pretty solid money selling these erotic thrillers. You're actually writing in the middle of writing a new one.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Heartbeats and Heartbeats and Butt Cheeks.
Heartbeats and Butt Cheeks, Pat. What's the plot of Heartbeats and Butt Cheeks?
It's about a particularly horny group of emergency room doctors.
Yeah.
And so,
Grey's Anatomy, but raunchy.
Oh, it's raunchy.
Yeah, I bet. Is there a lot of butt play in it?
The first shot of the movie is this area that's like sealed with glass. Like it's supposed to be like a kind of like quarantined, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like the only way to get into it is a single glass door that slides open.
Yeah.
So at first, the first shot is just this door.
Yeah.
As it very slowly zooms in.
Yeah.
And then like this guy's like sweaty ass just like comes against the glass or whatever.
Yeah. Did you have to do the sound effect right then? Is it necessary for you to simulate what his sweaty ass sounds like when it presses up against this glass?
People love my sound effects. So what happens is the camera keeps slowly zooming in until it just goes up the guy's asshole.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We literally zoom into him. How far up his colon do we go until the movie starts?
Just for like a few seconds. Like, it's not like,
okay, it's
like, people are calling this. People are like, this is like fucking like Hitchcock, man. This is like
really, because it sounds like more like the Naked Gun opening, where we literally zoom into a man's asshole.
Sure, but. So anyway, so you're writing this and you're kind of in the middle of it. And so rather than kind of like, you're kind of like in the zone,
yeah,
as far as it comes to working on the screenplay. So
I love the zone.
You're not do the what? The what?
I said I love the zone.
And you do.
I do.
Sometimes you think like a little too much. Like sometimes like
you don't get
any work done, if you know what I'm saying.
That's where I lose you, Pat. Because when you're talking about the zone, I'm thinking heads down, working hard, you know, autopilot kind of thing.
Nah, dude. You call it the jack zone.
Oh, Pat. That's when you get about different zones, Pat.
It's the only zone that matters. You get so turned on writing these erotic thrillers that you just start like cranking it, dude. And so sometimes it'll last for like a very long time.
The jack zone.
The jack zone.
Pat.
Yeah. So so when you're not in the jack zone, you kind of just go to hang out at like shows and stuff like that.
What do you mean when I'm not in the jack zone? How often am I in the jack zone? Like, this is my, so let me get this clear. This is like my full-time job now.
Writing erotic screenplays.
How many hours a day do I devote to my craft?
12.
What? Okay, that's a long
time. You're a very disciplined writer.
How many of these things am I cranking out a year?
About 3.
Ooh, man. 12 hours a day and I get 3 of them done and they're like pretty simple to do?
Yeah, but basically what happens when you write these,
I spend all my time masturbating, is what you're saying.
You go into extreme detail when you're writing like the script. So even though like, excuse me, even though like they don't actually show what you're describing, like for one love scene, you write like a 7-page thing just describing how, like, you know, how it feels in his mouth when they kiss.
His gaping maw. His open maw. His beckoning maw.
It is.
Let me see that maw.
Gaping. You write about the main character is named his name is Lil Charles. Oh. And Lil Charles,
is he a little person or
no? He's okay. He's actually quite large, just sort of like a joke.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's your idea of a joke. So what happens is
enough.
In the screenplay, you talk about his like hot, wet maw entire for like, again, like 7 straight pages. And like when you actually see the movie it's made, it's like a, you know, 7-second interaction.
There's a lot of maw talk in that script.
There is. And you demand that during that part with the maw, because there's only one person you describe as having a maw.
Yeah.
And when people, if people could see what you're picturing,
open.
And they would gaping. Understand why you called him that.
Invited.
That gaping, steaming maw.
Steaming. Glistening. Moist.
like wet rocks in the Amazon, brother.
The maw whispers.
So you're writing about this whispering wet maw, and you've decided like, yeah, like when you're in the zone. Oh yeah. Also, so yeah. So most of the time you're writing, but you do jack off about 2 hours a day.
Two hours. What happens?
It's a pretty good screenplay.
That's a pretty good amount of my day spent to doing that. Big two deal. Hours.
Dude, this is your business. Your business is eroticism.
I can't just write it without doing that. For 2 hours a day?
Hey, man, chefs taste their stew.
Not tasting anything in this scenario, Pat.
So what happens is you kind of take it on more of like a mentor role.
Oh, man.
So you'll go in.
Too busy writing and jacking off. 12 hours a day. Well, I mean,
if you take like a night off or something, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go hang. So you go to a show and like you'll – like there's – you go to the Good Heroin show.
Yeah. Echoes and, Bookstore, Sunset.
Yeah.
Saturday nights, yeah. When it comes back. Hopefully. Friend of the podcast, Dave Ross.
And so what happens is you go to that show and like there'll be like newer comics hanging out. And you know how it is when you're new to comedy and you're like, I kind of know who that guy is. Oh shit, that guy's on TV. Oh fuck. Like you just kind of feel like kind of weird, you know? And a little left out. And you have sworn to never make another comedian feel that way ever again.
Man. I also got the name of that venue wrong. It's Stories, not Echoes.
That's a different place. Well, they moved venues.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Jesus Christ, man.
So there'll be like a young comic there and you'll walk up and you'll do that thing where like you'll like turn the chair around and like sit down.
Yeah.
And people start calling you Teach.
Oh, Teach.
You have like tweed fucking jackets that you wear with like the shit on the elbow or whatever. You've always worn glasses, but now your glasses are like fucking huge, dude. You wear like a tie.
This sucks so bad. Teach. That's just like what I wear out because I want to mentor comedians who are more successful than I am?
No. These comedians are not very successful. They're open mic comics. They're like new. You know what I mean? And so you're kind of giving them some valuable insight. And they fucking appreciate it, man. That's why they call you Teach. Also because of your fucking jacket.
That
so
sucks.
You're kind of
that fucking sucks, man. What?
Why?
You know exactly why. I don't need to describe to you why that sucks. That it just inherently sucks.
All right, well, whatever. I mean, I think it's kind of a cool thing to give back to the younger comics
who
look up to you, but you know.
The rest of my day, you have me spending 10 hours a day writing and 2 hours jacking it. And like the only time I get off, I throw on a fucking suit and a shirt and tie and a coat and I go to a show and like soapbox to younger comedians.
Well, you don't soapbox. Like you'll just you'll walk in and then you'll see like a group of young comics hanging out and they'll be like clearly in an argument and one of them look over and they'll go, let's ask Aaron. He knows everything about comedy. And then they go, hey, Teach, come here. And you kind of go, here we go. And you kind of walk over.
I don't
turn
do that.
Fucking
I don't
chair out and sit down, plant your goddamn crotch right up on that fucking thing.
Bad God.
So you are sort of doing that's kind of like
so aggressive. Man.
I'm just telling well, you know.
What a sexually charged episode this has turned out to be.
So anyway. So you kinda go to that show one night and you know you're doing your whole Teach bit. You know where you go. You look up and like one of the things you tell these young comics, you go, you know, it's like every time you go up there, it's like
Pat.
It's like you against them.
No,
and it's your time to really go up there. And when you see that light in your eyes, when you see that, and you're just doing shit like that.
Pat, go, that sucks so fucking bad.
You go, don't write a joke. Be a joke.
Oh, Pat,
and they all like nod and they all write it down and shit. So You Pat. So you leave the show.
Why am I being such a phony shithead?
You're giving them good advice, though.
Pat, be a joke. Don't write a joke is not good advice.
I mean, that's not very good advice. But the rest of the stuff that you tell them, like you'll sit there and you'll go, look, guys, if you're ever at a show or at an open mic, you know you're going up. Always be prepared the second you get there, because you never know if the host is going to screw up and read the wrong name, or if the guy in front of you decides he can't do this and runs away. Always be ready. And they're like, hell yeah. And they write down ABR.
Always be ready.
One guy gets a tattoo.
Aaron Brooks rules.
Yeah, dude. You call them Brooksisms, and you're planning on publishing a book about them.
No, man.
One of your other pieces of advice is you're like,
I'm publishing a book about how to do like rules on comedy, Pat.
That's not rules.
Yeah,
they're but Brooksisms.
But that's
come on,
Pat. We've all seen those books.
Yeah, and it's called Brooksisms : This is the way I do it. And then in parentheses, comedy.
Good.
So like another piece of advice that you have for some of these like newer comics, you're like, look, man, there's way too many. You guys are saying too many words. You're using way too many words. Just what's funny about this? Get to it as quick as you can.
Have you heard a single set I've ever done in my life?
Oh, no, you don't take this advice at all. Yeah. This is just the thing that you tell other people. So you leave the show and you're kind of feeling pretty good about yourself. You're like, I got to get home and finish writing that screenplay. You know?
Oh, no, I forgot all about that.
So you get home. You're like walking home. And suddenly you feel kind of like hungry. You know? Yeah. And you're kind of thinking to yourself, you know, I could really go for like a burger right now.
It's a burger place on the walk home from that show.
There's actually a new. I know. I don't know what just happened there. There's actually a new burger place in town.
Yeah, and it's on my trek home.
Yeah, and you haven't been in there yet, so you're like, I'm gonna go try it.
Okay, what's it called?
Ouroboros Burgers and Company.
Why so am you I walk in, going there. That sounds like an Illuminati place, like an Illuminati burger joint. Ouroboros?
Yeah. You know, just like a shared cultural symbol that has never creeped you out at all. So you walk in to Ouroboros Burgers and Company, and you walk up it's one of those places where you just order, you sit, you go up to the counter and order, and then they bring it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you walk up, the guy
I get a Captain
counter,
D's.
It's exactly like a Captain D's.
They give you a little table tent.
So you walk up, there's like a guy behind the counter. He's like, hey, my name's Otis. How can I help you?
I mean, it's just like standard burger fare, and I'm in the mood for like a straight up burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just order a it's just like a meal that I'm having.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, well, you decide like, yeah, you're going to go the whole way.
Okay. I'm going to get dinner on the way home from that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'll just get like a burger and fries.
So you order that.
I'm going to get like a cheeseburger.
Sure.
I'm going to be bad.
And he goes, for here or to go, stranger?
To go, please.
He goes, coming right up. That'll be, we're actually doing reverse happy hours. That'll be $6.66, please.
Okay, that's fine. That I don't give a shit about that at all. Swipe my card. Take it from
him. He swipes it. He gives it to you. He goes, we don't allow tips on that number. And like I scratched out like where you would tip.
Why? Do I have any cash?
No. No, 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 no. So he walks away. You're like, that was fucking weird.
I can't leave him a cash tip.
You don't have any cash on you.
Oh, okay.
You spent it all at the new venue.
Yeah.
They have one of those games where there's like a crane and it goes,
yeah,
and goes down and can like pick up things.
Yeah.
So you were doing that because it's filled with a bunch. There's no like stories. Or, sorry, no stories. Sorry about that. There's no like toys, but it's just a bunch of like keys on different rings and stuff. And you kind of think, you don't know what they're for, but you kind of think to yourself,
man,
you use those keys.
No, the fuck I can't. Those are for a lock that I don't know where that lock is. I don't know what's on the other side of that lock. What the fuck? Why am I just fishing for keys that I don't know where they're going to fit? That's so goddamn stupid.
It's just, it could be an adventure. So
I'm going to go try every lock in the fucking city. What's the expectation?
Well, no,
here?
I mean, you spend all your money on it, so you can't. So it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so you get your fucking burgers and fries. You take them home. And I got to tell you, man, it's you can smell it through the bag. It smells incredible.
Great.
You think to yourself, oof, I am looking forward to this burger.
Yeah.
You get home. You open the door, walk in, you know. You sit down. You take out that burger. You slowly unwrap it. Like a groom.
Oh, no, Pat.
Taking the wedding dress off his blushing bride.
Come on.
On the first night of their honeymoon. That's how intense this burger experience is.
Do the couple you just described go directly from the wedding to their honeymoon?
Yeah.
Okay. So she had the dress on.
Destination wedding, Hawaii.
Oh shit. Okay. Man. Yeah.
So, you bite into that burger and it is fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah.
You actually black out. When you come to, there's no burger, there's like no fries, there's just like some crumbs and shit.
Yeah, man, but I've been there.
You're like, holy, you say out loud, you go, holy mother of Christ! Screaming as loud as you can.
Why am I screaming?
Because it's a good burger, I guess.
So I black out from this burger, I eat the entire thing while I'm blacked out, and I wake up screaming, holy mother of Christ. Purely based on how I feel about the burger.
And for a second, you can actually see the mother of Christ. That's how intense this burger.
Jesus Christ.
It's a pretty memorable dinner. So you kind of come to and you're like, oh, that was, you know, bizarre or whatever. You walk into your kitchen to grab some water. You're about, and you kind of are about to open the door.
Yeah.
To your fridge when suddenly you hear a voice.
Yeah.
And it's coming from your sink.
Yeah.
It's coming from the from deep inside your sink. You hear a voice just go, Aaron.
I don't like this at all. I don't like this one bit, Pat. I don't like this at all.
Aaron.
Turn that water on.
You turn to go put the water on.
Put it on hot, as hot as it can go. I'm going to let this motherfucker run.
Sure. Instead of water turning on, though.
Great. I
turn
it off.
You see like a snake come through.
What the fuck, Pat?
Your faucet. And it kind of comes all the way out. And eventually it sort of like reaches behind itself.
Yeah.
And it grabs its own fucking tail.
God damn it. The Ouroboros. That fucking burger. I knew I didn't like that. I think I've told you I don't like that thing.
What do you mean?
I think I've told you in the past that thing gives me the creeps.
Yeah, it gives everyone the creeps.
I admitted that to you in confidence.
So anyway, so it's a snake eating its own tail, and it goes, hey there, Aaron.
Oh, no.
It's me, Eddie Ouroboros.
Oh, what? That is, God damn it. What a stretch.
He goes,
Jesus Christ.
He goes, you got a minute?
No, I don't have a
minute.
What
do you do?
I fucking freak out because there's a goddamn talking snake in my kitchen, Pat, that just crawled out of my fucking faucet.
Eddie.
I get the broom. I get a broom and I go to knock him down, and I'm going to try to sweep his ass right out the front door. I'm gonna do it from far away too. I'm gonna pull an Al McInnes. So slapshot over 100 miles an hour.
Hell yeah! You grab that broom and you just like swipe at the
I don't want to hurt him. I'm gonna poke at him with like the the non broomy end of the broom, the stick end.
You poke at him and he kind of goes, "What the heck are you doing, Aaron?"
I go, "Get the fuck out of my house, you snake."
So
and I scoot him out of there.
So you kind of do the thing where you use your broom handle or whatever, and it fits perfectly around the circle. And you walk over to your door and you open it and you just go and you look at it. And
I don't want to hurt him.
And you go, "Fuck you!" And you kind of like toss it out the front door.
I probably would say "fuck you" to a snake.
You're living in a new apartment building. It's 300 floors up. So you just hear it go, I'll get you for this, Aaron.
I'm not going to throw a snake from floor 300, Pat. That's reckless.
Well, you just moved in, so you kind of forgot that you're up that high. So you throw him out, and you hear him just go, he goes,
Seems like I would be reminded of a
17 children. It takes a long time to hit the ground.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So you're kind of like, that was fucking weird.
Yeah, 17 children.
Yeah.
Those
So what?
Do those children have names?
Yeah. Sandy, Sarah, Bernard, Matthewson, Chuck Normal, Mindy the Snake, Ben, Benny, Benjamin. Nettis Yahoo, Charles II, King Gordo, Mr. Sneeze, Aaron Brooks is one of them.
What a coincidence. That's the name. Two more, huh?
There's one named, his name is Garth.
Yeah.
And then the last one is just known as Eddie Jr.
Okay.
He screams all their names as he falls. Again, you're on like the 300th floor. It takes a very long time.
Yeah.
Eventually, you just hear a very distant like noise.
And you're what
was it? And you're like, huh. So you close the door and you kind of like, you think to yourself, I got to go to bed. This has been a fucking weird day.
Yeah.
Suddenly, there's a knock on the door. What do you do?
What time of night is it?
10 o'clock at night.
I mean, I would probably just look through the peephole.
So standing there is the sun god Ra.
Great.
He's like, Aaron.
Yeah.
Because, I'm trying to, Eddie told me to come here. We got to get going, bud.
I'm not coming out.
He goes, all right, but okay, cool. You don't have to come with us. I don't, send Eddie out.
I don't know where he is.
He goes, he called me like a couple minutes ago, said he was inside your apartment.
Waiting for you. He scared me.
He said
me.
He was waiting for you in the drain.
He scared me, and so I put him outside.
And he goes, huh. And he goes, and that's it?
I don't know where he's at.
He goes, you don't have anything else to tell me?
Last time I saw him, he was outside.
And he goes, interesting.
Yeah. Tell him to not come back into my apartment again, please. That was very rude, and it's terrifying.
He goes, that is kind of rude. I will definitely tell him that.
Thank you.
And he goes, all right, well, I'm going to instantaneously teleport to the ground now. See you later. Bwonk, and disappears. And then suddenly you hear from a very distant, that son of a bitch. And then in his fury, you hear him just go, ultimate sun attack. And then
Why does he say it like that? He says, ultimate sun attack.
Yeah, he announces the move like it's Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And then the sun comes down and incinerates the entire Earth. You cause the death of every single living creature on the planet because you immediately didn't trust Ouroboros and threw it outside.
Fuck
you guys could have had one hell of an adventure.
Yeah, it instead, like it.
Oh. You killed the snake and murdered billions of beings.
That one sucked so bad.
The erotic thriller never gets finished.
oh no, what will the world do? Who gives a fuck? With Sean McDaniels.
Well, a lot that of fans sucks. Did, but they're all dead.
That sucks, Pat. Eddie Ouroboros.
Yeah, isn't that kind of cool?
No, it's not cool.